Hey, drama listeners, you've been asking forever, and finally, Robin Herder returns to the pod. This is a historic moment for drama history because we usually bring you new episodes with new guests every week, but Robin is a favorite of ours, a favorite of yours, and we needed to have her back for her starring turn in the current Broadway musical that she's headlining. But before we get into the chat, which I know you're going to be obsessed with, I wanted to tell you about our Patreon, patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where for $5 a month, you get access to our Instagram close friends and multiple bonus episodes delivered right to your device of choice. And this month, we're doing lots of like little pop culture check-ins mixed with our predictions for who is going to be nominated for Tonys. So highly recommend you go over there, patreon.com/thedramapodcast, where you can support us so we can keep bringing you all the fun. All right, now it's time for the show as Robin Herder returns. Drama. All right, see you in a few.
Press play. Curtain up and now we're in. It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama. Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nominated?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well. What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell. Oh my God, this is such an exciting moment. We have someone who is beloved by not only drama listeners, but by the Broadway community at large coming back. We rarely have had returns, but we're in year three, so we said, fuck it. Bringing back our faves, you know, as we go on.
Period. And it's already been fun. But Dylan, before we get into the chat, what's been going on? What are you up to?
Oh my gosh. Well, all is well. I had said that I didn't think I was going to be making it back to New York until June for Pride. But I'm feeling this sensation inside that I need to make it back to see all the new shows before the Tonys.
Really?
I don't know how I'm going to make it happen. I need to find a way to come back and see. I got to see New York, New York. I've got to see all the revivals. But, you know, it's been such an exciting season. And I feel like I'm left out that I'm not in the city.
I knew you would feel this way. I knew you were going to plan another trip. Everyone keeps asking me. They're like, when's Dylan coming back? When's Dylan coming back? I'm like, oh my God, not till end of June. And they're like, he's not going to see everything, the new stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled that you're coming. I know that you're dying to see Annalee in Sweeney, and I am too. Yes. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you to go.
I know. Well, wait for me. And then also Parade and...
Oh my God, there's so
many. The revivals are exciting.
There's so many shows. Camelot.
Yes, which just opened.
I think
Bossy,
I read that. Dancing, I think I dancing. Read that there will be more musical revivals eligible this year for like Best Revival Tony than there have been in like 6 or 7 years.
Oh,
pretty
wow.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, usually it's like 2 or 3.
Right. Yeah. But I think there
so
could be
exciting.
Four this year. If there's 5 eligible, it could be 4. I don't know how they like break it down with like,
I know,
X number equals this number. But anyway, I'm so happy you're coming back.
Yes,
and
we'll
it's
figure
gonna
it
be
out.
So fun. There is like magic in the air right now in New York. I've got to tell you, the weather is amazing this weekend, or well, at least up till now. I think it's supposed to get a little rainy this weekend. But
okay.
Anyway, Dylan, we've got to get into it because we've been waiting for this moment.
I know. And when I just got to say, you know, when we started out as a little podcast in 2019, I felt like we were a year in when this person came on, and I felt like we were having our moment and we were finally crossing onto radars, and Broadway stars were like telling their friends to do the show. And this person, oh my God, we had so much fun. It was right around Christmas time. And now it's, you know, it's been what, 2 years, 2.5 years since then.
Wow.
I feel like we're sisters.
Oh my God.
Although in some ways, I feel like she's like our cool aunt in other ways too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you can have like a young aunt.
She's a forever young aunt. Young aunt, for sure. Aunt of the pod.
Totally. I'm going to bring her in.
Please.
The last time this absolute queen was our guest, she was a freshly minted 2020 Tony Award nominee for Best Performance by an Actress in a Featured Role in a Musical for Moulin Rouge, a show that she returned to after Broadway returned a year later. In the meantime, you could say she's been a little busy. Robin originated the role of Marcia in A Beautiful Noise, the Neil Diamond musical, where her triple threat prowess can currently be seen 8 times a week. And Forever in Blue Jeans is forever on repeat in my house. You'll recall that our guest has been on Broadway in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Grease, Chicago, The Wedding Singer, A Chorus Line, Spamalot, Starlet Express, Nice Work If You Can Get It, and more. As you know, she appeared in Flossie Verdon on FX, and she is a Helen Hayes and Emery Battis Award recipient, as well as a Gregory Award nominee. She is a gift to the Broadway industry, shining a light on topics others might shy away from. She is a hardworking mother, a supportive wife, an Instagram chef, backstage bartender, and true, wonderful friend of the pod. Please welcome back to drama, Robin Herter.
I think I started this show the same way the last time, where my cheeks hurt. I'm smiling so hard and laughing and crying that it was the most generous introduction. No, but nobody introduces me like that.
Mama, listen. Thank you. Listen, you deserve every word. You are so amazing. And I feel like everyone's talking about you. I know you don't like all the chatter. I know you don't like it. But listen, all anyone...
Maybe a little bit. Maybe you like it a little bit.
They've been tweeting Robin Herter. Oh. That's the tweet. That's all they've been talking about.
Have you heard this before? People tweeting that about you?
No, not at all. Because I got rid of Twitter, so I'm not...
Everyone's talking about you, Robin, and it's all in good ways. They used to talk about the thing that you would do with your leg in Moulin Rouge. Now they talk about how you absolutely slay in A Beautiful Noise, but we'll get into it. We'll absolutely get into it. How are you? Are you well?
I'm so well. I mean, I'm naturally tired just because doing 8 shows a week and being a mama and living out in the country and commuting, all of that day after day, it gets tiring. I should sleep more. I should, you know, drink less and take more vitamins. But all in all, I'm living my damn life and loving it. My complaints, my problems are, you know, Broadway problems. You know what I mean? So they're all good problems to have. So I am every day waking up with a lot of gratitude. Even this morning, like putting mail in the mailbox, I was like, wow, all right. It's a good day. It's a good day to have a good day.
I love that. It's very Derek Shepherd from like early Grey's Anatomy. And he's like, it's a beautiful day to save lives. Were you ever in on the Grey's?
I wasn't. I never got into it, but yeah. I love that.
He'd say that before like a big brain surgery.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. But, you know, some of us are still watching Grey's 19 years later, and it's not a beautiful day. It feels like we're being held captive in the basement of the hospital. And people like Connor and I who can't quit things are still stuck, shackled away by Ellen Pompeo.
She left, though.
I have my shackles to my stupid shows.
What are you holding on to?
I just love is blind. I'm so mad that I am so glued to it.
Are you all caught up? Because people have been talking about that the recent season.
I think new episodes dropped today.
Okay. They did.
So I have to watch what's been dropped. But oh my God. Talk about.
I love that though. We, you know, I always say us very intelligent people, we need something a little mindless.
Yeah, trash.
Take our brains
off. Garbage. Yeah. That's why I watch The Bachelorette, Bachelor, Batch in Paradise, and
yes.
Love is Blind.
Oh my God. I was so Bachelor Nation for years. And then I decided to, for once, I quit something. I do feel free. I do feel free.
I'm happy for you. I can't quit it.
You can't. Did the new guy was cute that was on The Bachelor this year. Did he find.
He found I clocked it on day one. I usually can pick him, I think so. I mean, I never follow up. Like, I watch the show and then I'm done. I don't follow anybody on social media because I'm like, you're going too far, Robin. So I don't know if they're still together. They might be. It's like Katie. I think her name's Katie. I don't know.
It usually is, right?
It's usually she's very pretty, very, you know, basic white Katie.
Yeah. And is the Bachelorette, is she cute, the one they picked for summer?
Yeah, she seems very sweet.
I totally get it. But I mean, oh my God, nothing's better than Bachelor in Paradise. Oh,
nothing is better. I mean, that's you have to watch the franchise just so you know who's on Bachelor in Paradise.
Right.
That is unhinged, reckless. Just, I love it. I can't wait.
You're right. It's like you need the prequel, the origin stories of all of these characters to get to their Avengers meetup, as they might say, you know, like they really.
It is the Avengers. Yes, I mean,
because they are all superheroes.
Remember when they did Winter Games a couple years ago? Yes. That was fun. That felt like Avengers vibes because you had Claire Crawley before she was Bachelorette. You had Ben Higgins and that. Yeah. Crazy.
Wow, these names that are in my brain that I don't think of often, but they're still there. They're still
weird.
They're still there.
Do you watch like these shows on your commute into the city? Like what? Because you mentioned that you're in the country. Do you have to like?
I have been like kind of squeezing them in. Like if I'm really, I just need a minute when Hudson's at school, I'll maybe watch some TV, but usually I'm doing stuff around the house. But I'll try to watch some in between shows before I take a snooze. Or because I drive in every day, so I can't be watching.
Oh, you drive. Okay. For some reason, I pictured you on like this countryside train.
Wouldn't that be nice? No, right? Where I am, it's either a car or a bus. And the bus schedule is like a suggestion. So I so we drive every, I say we, oh my God, because I have a Broadway buddy to take with me to work. So that's good.
Oh my God, that's so nice. Right, because Clyde's in New York, New York.
Daddy's back on Broadway where he belongs. It's so interesting because I've been doing this commute from here for, it'll be, oh my God, 7 years? 7 years now we've lived here.
I remember this now because you had said that you had asked for a parking or something like that. When you did, right?
I was like, okay, I don't have a bus home. Like I don't have a mm-hmm. home, so I have to drive. So you have to give me a parking spot.
Yes, that's right.
So I've been doing it by myself for so long. And now it's just funny. I'm like, oh, okay, we're getting in the car and we're going to New York together every day and going home. And he's driving, which is so nice. And it's so funny watching him because obviously what I do in Beautiful Noise is not what I did in Moulin Rouge. Mm-hmm. And Clyde does some physical stuff in his show. Obviously he's dancing a lot and maybe doing some handstands and.
Oh my gosh.
Like he does, like you do. But he, seeing him get out of the car, he's like, oh, after an hour commute, he's like, oh, mm-hmm. oh. And I was like, that was me. Every ride, every time I got home, whether it was Chicago or Moulin Rouge, I was crawling out of the car being like, and now I'm just like, boop, 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 boop. Going to the door. I'm like, I feel great. So we're having a lot of change right now, but it's it is nice to have a commute buddy for sure.
I love it. So wait, your show is a lot shorter than his. And your start time is a little sooner, right? So do you wait around, like stick around for a hubby?
Yeah. So I was telling Clyde when I saw the show and it was almost 3 hours long, I said, we have to do something about this. Yeah. I'm going to drink myself to death. I can't do this every night. I just want to go home.
Right.
The show is much shorter now, but it's literally, we come down at like 20 after, I mean, our show, it's 2:20. It's so tiny and it's,
oh yeah.
Every show should be that. I don't think any show should be past 2:30, but it, whatever. Yeah.
Agree. Oh my God. It was amazing. It was amazing how I was home in time for my whole bedtime routine and I wasn't even missing sleep, you know?
Yeah. And his show is now, I think, getting out at like, it's like 42, which I can't really complain about because Moulin Rouge was usually around, it was like 40, I think.
Yeah.
So I just kind of chill out. And then, but the thing is like, this is a monster show and everybody is loving it. Thank God. I think it's mm-hmm. going to be a big whopping hit, knock on wood. But the signing moment outside the stage door that's an extra 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Clyde is just, he is such a kind person and he just has conversations with everybody. And I'm just like, can we go home? I'm so tired, but it's good. It's going to be fine. His show is starting later now just because they're still in the preview process. But after they open on the 26th, they go to all Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. They're all sevens.
So oh, great.
It will work out. For us.
Totally. I see you filming him signing. You're so proud.
It's such a thrill. Like, it's like it's me, but it's not. I feel it even deeper for him because, you know, the last time he was on Broadway was in 2016. He was doing On the Town and done some shows. But once like Hudson got into so much soccer, this dude, like he devoted his entire life to him and to see the payoff now, like Hudson is really, really good. Like, I'm not just saying that because I'm his mom, like professional players are like, he actually could do this. Yeah. He's skilled. Like it's crazy what he's doing. And I remind Clyde, because obviously we've gone through ups and downs, like with career and he didn't know, you know, what his purpose was, or it's like, if you're not on Broadway, who are you, you know? And I kept reminding him, I'm like, I couldn't give this to Hudson. I don't know how. Like Clyde could have probably been a soccer player if he didn't choose dance. Like he did it. Yeah. He did all the sports like when he was growing up, and he gave him this Like, I'm like, I couldn't have done that.
Yeah. So
this is there. It, everything is happening for a reason. And now look at you. I mean, bitch didn't even audition for this. Stro was like, hey, come do this. And he's like, okay. And just like have a lead in a show and just bounce back like that. And now he's dancing and doing walking handstands on beams. You know, it's like, it's crazy. And now we're just, you know, having someone else kind of raise our kid for a moment and see how long we can do this. But it's all meant to happen. Like, we couldn't do this when Hudson was younger. Like, it just, it would be too much for such, but now that he's like 9 and a half, he understands what we do. And he's just, he's adjusting really well to it. So it's good. Everything, universe, she's never wrong.
You're right. You're right. I firmly believe that. That's
It's so cute to see how much Hudson has grown up even over the last couple of years. Like, he's always felt like a little adult, but like, you posted a video of him seeing Clyde in the show recently.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh my God. He's like grown up now, you know, and he gets it.
Yeah, he does. And you know what's really, it's so beautiful. Like, I can tell, like, Hudson's used to me doing shit in New York. Like, he, it's not that he doesn't care what I do, but I'm just like, mom. You know what I mean? And he's seen me in thongs and he's seen me with like Ricky on top of me, he's seen me make out with Will. And he's just like, he'll go to Clyde and he'll be like, Dad, you jealous? He's like, no. And then when he saw Clyde dancing with another girl and it was like this salsa thing, he goes, Mom, you jealous? I'm like, no, honey, I'm really not. It's acting. What's so funny with Hudson and watching his dad, you can tell how proud he is. Like, he remembers almost every line that Clyde said in the show. He's seen the show twice because he went to see father-in-law, but he imitates him and he says his lines all the time, like verbatim, even with the right, like the way Clyde says it on stage, he does the moves, like you can tell. And he keeps talking about his show. He doesn't care about mine at all. I'm like, did you think I'd be good? He's like, yeah, you were the best one.
Oh, cool. You know what I mean? Thank you. Like, any other notes or feedback? Or
yeah, I said, well, what did you think was different about this show than when you saw it in Boston? And he goes, the lights were brighter. Oh. I'm like, okay, good. Thanks. Oh, you know what he did say? He said, because we cut that lift when they lift me up because my back was out. And then once I could have put it back in, but Stephen Hogg at the choreographer was in the audience the night and he saw it and he's like, do you like that better? And I go, yes. He's like, I think it's better storytelling. So we cut the lift. Oh. And the one thing he said, Hudson said, he said, Mom, I think they should put the lift back in. I was like, what? You actually recognize that I didn't go up in the air? The one lift I have? I was like, honey, it's okay. Mommy doesn't.
Isn't the lift immortalized in like production shots though?
It sure is. And I got to say, like, my foot looks fierce. I was I'm wearing, what's so funny, because my custom boots were not done yet because this was in previews or something. And so I was like, I need to have a dance shoe. I can't just wear like a Steve Madden boot on stage. I'm actually dancing more than I was in Boston. So I said, I need to have a dance boot. So they were getting made. They weren't ready yet. So I was like, well, I have a vintage pair of Tio Days from The Wedding Singer. They're bright pink. So they need to be painted, but I could wear those. And they're in that shot. They painted them brown. And My Wedding Singer from 2006.
Well, that makes me feel even more connected because, you know, I'm a Wedding Singer girl. Yeah. So that makes me, oh my God, that is beautiful. Yeah. Wait, okay. I was thinking about this too, and this is so random, but you've been in a bunch of Broadway theaters now. And what is your favorite Broadway house to be in? Like, backstage area wise, like, where do you, obviously you had it really nice over in the Al Hirschfeld, but.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing is, like, the backstage of Broadway theaters are like, you know, kind of gross. They're like, they're so old. Like, I would say probably the best backstage ever was actually Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Cause it was the, what was it called then? The Lyric?
Was it the Foxwoods or was it the Lyric? Or?
What, I don't know what it's called now, whatever Harry Potter.
Was it the Ford Center at the time?
I think when we went in, it changed to the Hilton maybe.
Oh yes, you're right.
2004.
Yeah, that, you're right.
She's brand new. She's cute. She, you know.
The Lyric now, yeah. Yeah.
It's nice. But I will say I've never gotten that kind of feeling when I walked into the Broadhurst for the first time. Like, you can feel the energy of like, you definitely can, they're like some spirits up in here. Like, I
walked
in to like the stage door area. And just, I was like, this is, I know, I'm very grateful. Like, this is a very, very historic prime real estate Broadway house. So I've never really felt like that. I love my little, it's so funny. I'm very separated from the whole cast, corner basement, which they put me there on purpose because it's a great room and they know I like to throw parties. And so they like
yes.
in this corner, but everybody else is in a tower on the other side of the theater. It's kind of annoying because I want to see people all the time, but it's all right. I think the Lyric or the Ford or the Hilton or the Harry Potter theater is,
yeah, whatever it
is. was my favorite. It's just,
okay.
It's nice and new and open and bright, you know.
Funny. Have you ever seen a theater ghost anywhere?
I haven't seen a theater ghost, but I will say that I have felt, especially, I think it was in the Hirschfeld. I've gone up top, like the top floor, and I've heard that that's where there are spirits, and I have felt like ice cold on my arm, and I'm like, goodbye, never coming out here ever again.
Yeah.
But no, I feel like there's been certain things that have happened, but I'm also like, I know I'm like a feeler of energy, but you definitely have certain, like you can choose how open you are to channeling spirits. And I know I definitely have a wall up where I'm like, I accept you, but don't ever show your fucking face to me.
Yeah.
I lose my shit.
Yeah.
Like, I will not sleep for the rest of my life. So
right.
Like my house, we have this area and it's so weird because when people come, they will look at the corner of our foyer is the entrance because this house was built in 64 and there's this one hallway goes downstairs. And when we're watching TV, it's just like a white fog that you just in the corner of your eye, you can see it move in that. And I was like, did you see that? Clyde, he's like, yeah, we've been seeing it for years. And then when people come over and they're just sitting and they look over and my friend Libby just said, did other people live in this house? Like, are you the first people? And I said, no, this was built in 64. It's been like, I think we're the fourth owner. She goes, she's like, there are a lot of things going on in that hallway. I'm like, and there's been like five people who have been like, did you see something? I'm like, we see it all the time. But it's like a good, it's not bad.
Yeah.
I think it's just people just hanging out. I don't know.
Okay, this stuff gives me the heebie-jeebies. I have like tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
I get like,
and you're so chill about it.
I start to like cry when I hear ghost stories. This is
you're the one that asked about it.
I know.
You're like, have you ever seen a theater?
We can move on, but yeah, those are my only kind of like spiritual encounters. Oh wait, I have one more story because my mother-in-law Teresa, who passed away in 2020, we have this. Like it was 2 years ago, we were on the deck and I started talking about my flowers, my peonies that I love so much to Clyde. And then I caught this little red thing caught my eye and we have one single tulip. It's a bright fire red, like my favorite color, fire red tulip. There are no tulips in our area at all. And there's just one. And then I said, I feel like that's your mom. And Clyde goes, did you know about our tulips? And Clyde got freaked out. And her favorite thing in front of their house growing up, she planted all these red tulips and it was one of her favorite flowers. And I said, oh my God. And so anyway, the reason why I said that is she just bloomed. It's always the year that I'm like, there's the tulip. It's Mama Teresa. Anyway,
that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a good one though. That's a really good one. I like that a lot.
We got into it. We've touched on a couple different, we mentioned Moulin Rouge and we mentioned Beautiful Noise again. And it's been a few years since we've had you on the pod. And because we're welcoming you back in, there is a question we ask all of our guests in every episode. We asked it to you last time. And to refresh our listeners, you talked about cats, then you went into Damn Yankees and everyone should definitely go back and re-listen. But we're wondering if you've had a moment since the last time we spoke that's reinvigorated you, a Ring of Keys moment, part 3 or 4, whatever, that's helped your love for the arts or your own creative passions bloom.
Yeah. I mean, what's been so inspiring is watching Broadway really, really come back. I mean, she's in full swing this season. I don't know when the last time we've had a season like this. There's how many musicals? Like 13 that have in this season. It's crazy. So anytime going to see a show, it is so inspiring to me, but I do have to talk about something that has happened because it just happened recently and I've had a couple moments. I am a massive fan of Sutton Foster. I mean, who is not, right? Mm. And when I was 20, I was in the city and I was dating this guy that just treated me like shit. And he blew me off one day and I I was like, I'm just going to go see I'm going to see a Broadway show. And it was pouring rain and my train was late and I got a ticket at the Marriott Marquis to go see Thoroughly Modern Millie. And I was 10 minutes late and I didn't know who Sutton Foster was. And when I saw her sing, well, the whole show, but Gimme, Gimme, right? Is that the name of the song? I'm so terrified.
Oh yeah. Yep. That's a big song. Yeah.
I literally like looked at her and I was crying because I was like, I don't think I can be that. Like, I don't think that I am capable of doing that. She is so good. Like, I think it was the first time I really saw a star. People use this, they use this term too much. You're like, oh my God, you're a star. No, you have to really be a star to get. And that she is one that I'm like, you are everything. And I can't visualize myself doing that. Then I see her and stuff. Cut to, it was very kind that the Cheetah Awards happened, like, but way later, and I was nominated, but I was like, oh, thank you. That's nice. But what I cried about, I looked at my phone and I'm seeing the headlines and it says, and I'm going to start crying. It says Sutton Foster, Robin Herder and more nominated. And I was like, sorry, I'm such a geek. I was like, I did it. Like, I'm next to her. And I just had that moment of like being 20 years old, being like, I don't think I'm going to be up there. Like, I can't see it. And then these headlines are saying like Sutton Foster, Robin Herder and more. And I'm like, you fucking did it. You are next to her. Then cut to Jesus Christ, this whole PBS thing that's going to air on great performances, which is so major. I mean, I literally woke up the next day and I'm like, well, I can quit. You know, my life is complete. But it was hosted by Sutton Foster and I'm not going to really talk about what happens because you guys get to see it. It was historic and I still can't believe it happened, but I do the casting dance a little bit, abbreviated.
I thought based on your outfit.
Yeah. So I do like a baby version of it and I run off stage and because I can't talk about it, but I run off and then I just see Sutton and I've only met her once, like briefly. It's funny because Clyde has worked with her and my best friend Max is, you know, it's like, but we haven't really had a moment. And I basically ran off and she was there and I just ran into her arms and she just held me. And she's like, I couldn't watch it because I'm crying. Like, I can't, that was beautiful, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, that was during the dress rehearsal. After the taping, after the whole show, the gala is over, I come backstage and as I'm crossing behind the stage of Lincoln Center and Sutton just closed the show because she's, you know, hosting it. And she just walks out and she's like, we did it. And I was like, Sutton Foster for president. And it's just her and I in the hallway. And she just grabbed my hand and we walked to her dressing room and she's so gracious. And she said such nice things to me. And all I'm thinking, I'm like, I am at Lincoln Center holding Sutton Foster's hand. And she says, I'm good. And I'm just like, I can quit now. Anyway, that was a long-winded story, but that has kind of rejuvenated me for another decade, basically.
Oh my God, I can imagine. I'm going to cry now. That whole thing was just perfect.
Fucking did it.
I did it. You fucking did it. It was a good time. It was just a good moment. So all in all, that has what has really, what's it called? Build my pickle. I don't know.
Yeah.
What? No, Robin, I don't think that's
it is
build
now.
My pickle.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with that story. I can't wait for this PBS.
It was, you should have seen me in rehearsal. I was dying.
I love that you're still a fan of people that you work with and around. And it's really, really refreshing to see because you've been in this business, you know, your whole adult life. And I love that you're not super duper jaded by it, or I mean, maybe you are.
I'm not. I'm forever a like 12-year-old Robin Broadway dreamer that I still don't think I can do things. And especially that PBS thing, it's Broadway on steroids. Y'all are, the world is not ready for what goes down in these 90 minutes. It's insane. One after another. And I'm in the green room in my fucking leotard and tights. And I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, everybody is around me. Brian Stokes Mitchell, Shauna Bean, Cheetah.
Cheetah.
Norm Lewis, Sarah Bareilles. I'm like, why? It's not that I'm saying, I know that they probably can't do the Cassie dance, but like, I was having major imposter syndrome and just fangirling about everybody. I just, Rob McClure, it just kept going. Vanessa Williams, like it just.
Oh my God. Well, you belong with all of them, girl. I mean, I know that you don't believe it, but.
I don't. I mean,
you should.
I try to work hard and love what I do, but, and I do, I really love what I do, but I'm just like a spazzy, 12-year-old Robin.
Do you feel like your Tony nomination changed things for you professionally?
You know what? It's so funny. I think it did. It's so weird, but it's like you got that name before your name and you're always introduced like that. And it's not that I forget about it, but it's like, I think it did make a difference. I wish it didn't. I find awards there, like we're in that time right now and I'm getting the heebie-jeebies about it because all I want to do is sing and dance in bright lights to a black wall and then go home and cook and watch TV and drink my wine and be a normal person in the country. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's always, this pressure that you're like, because if you get these awards, then this leads to the next job. And I'm like, what if I don't want to? I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want,
Right.
And I believe that I have like such a true soul and I'm doing it for the right reasons. I'm not doing this for any sort of fame or attention. I do it because I just love Broadway.
Yeah,
I do. I just really love musical theater and singing and dancing and acting on Broadway. And that's all I want to focus on is, people are like, what's your motto for this season? And I'm like, tell the story every night before I go out in blue jeans. Cause it makes I have a panic attack and sirens are like, abort, abort. I take a deep breath. I shake my hands out and I just make sure my bodysuit is up over my boobs. And I say, tell the story. I take a deep breath and I pop out and I start walking. But that's all that matters to me is telling the story. Cause that's why we're hired. This is why we do this. Mm-hmm. We're hired to tell stories, create art and make people feel things and hopefully, any kind of feelings. And this show, A Beautiful Noise, is beautiful because we get to make you feel all the feels. But that's why I'm here. I'm here for the art and that kind of drug, that adrenaline, those endorphins that go through my body every night and not awards or nominations.
In the show, you are just out of this world. Like I mentioned earlier, everyone was talking about it. And you have to see it to believe it. Robin, you seriously, you say there's no like the stars or whatever. You are a serious star in the show. First of all, you're singing your face off in a way I don't think a lot of us have seen before. And then second of all, I mean, Forever in Blue Jeans, the ending, you have this diva moment where it's just you on stage and your arms are outstretched. I mean, it is powerful and it fits so well in the show too. Like people have a lot to say about jukebox musicals, but it tells such a beautiful story and you are communicating it so strongly to the audience. I mean, see, I would go again just to see you do that number over and over.
I know. And no one's ever looked better in blue jeans on a Broadway stage or maybe ever. So
thank you. Guess what brand those are? Specs.
Oh,
they're amazing. I was like, oh, damn. I know. I want to try to get a campaign with them.
I know.
I was just going to say, you need to do a brand partnership.
No, I need to get on it. It's so funny now because I think I'm talking about and these little, robots are listening and now I'm getting Spanx at Instagram. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, no, it is a dream come true. It's a beautiful nightmare because it's really hard. And everyone's like, but you're so easy. I'm like, I'm dying inside, actually. I'm panicking. I'm seeing red. It's just hard because they're making me dance. Not even just like hold out a D. I'm screaming D's, like I'm saying words, phrases on D's, which is not easy, especially when your heart is pounding and you're trying to control your breath. Cause singers breathe from the tummy and dancers breathe from the chest. And so you try to, it's so difficult to do that. People don't understand how hard singing and dancing is. And I'm already gonna break out in hives thinking about tonight.
No, it's good.
Wasn't that added later, the dancing component?
Yeah. I mean, the number started out as like a trio and it was a full because they didn't know, even with my final callback, actually, which was yesterday, my year anniversary.
Oh my gosh.
They gave me the music, and I know Sunny, the music director. I called him. I said, Sunny, could you give me a hint? I don't know if this is cheating, but I'm like, what is this about? And he's like, girl, make a strong choice. We don't know. And so I did. And funny enough, the product is kind of what I did in the audition, even though it went through a journey. It was like a trio. It was like Jay, his first wife, and Ellie. Oh. It was a trio. Like, I started the song, but then they came in and then we had this weird dance break together. It's not that I didn't have any say in it becoming my number. I just didn't get it. And I just kept saying, but what am I doing? Like, I don't get it. And to me, I was talking to Michael Mayer being like, well, I think, like, you know, this is what it should kind of be focused on, Marsha, that it's like, yes, this lifestyle, we are rising, 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 rising. But when it comes down to it, you know, fuck the money. I just want to be like where we were at the bitter end, you know, blue jeans. And that's what it turned into. And then it was like, you have to dance. And then we have to give you this big rock star moment at the end. And I was like, wow, I didn't even ask for anything, but my dream kind of came true. Yeah. I'm going to scream my tits off on Broadway, so people like, I don't just dance, and I got it. Ugh. I get to do it. And now I'm scared every night. Terrified every night.
Well, thank you for your service, because the audience payoff is amazing. Wait, so like a year ago yesterday, so that's the 13th of April. Mm-hmm. How soon after that final callback did you hear that you booked it?
I walked in. I had auditioned on the 11th, and in the room, Michael Mayer was like, can you read with Will on Wednesday? And I was like, yeah.
And Mr. Audra McDonald, sure.
Yes. And I went into the room, and I was just, I've never had a chemistry read before. Mm. But it went really well. We instantly had chemistry, and I did the audition. I was terrified just working with Will Swenson, not really the material. Cause I didn't really care about it's not that I didn't care about the job. I was like, if I get it, awesome. But I also, I don't think I need to do this show. Like, it's amazing when you put yourself in that mindset,
sure,
how things lay out for you. Anyway, I left the room and I got in a cab to go to the airport, because I was meeting Clyde in Canada with his family for the Easter weekend. And I got to the airport, and it was maybe 2 hours later. I was drinking, obviously. Having a glass of Prosecco. And I see, you know, that when that agent calls, and I'm like, here we go, here we go. I was like, hello. He gives me that weird small talk, and I'm like, just say it, yes or no. And yeah, he's like, all right, well, they want you, but Neil, as in Neil Diamond, has to see the tape. And I'm just like, okay, because everybody needs to sign off on it. And so I got on my flight. And I was like, I think it's going to happen. I mean, I got the job. It's like, unless Neil watches it and he's like, she's terrible. By the time I landed, I got a message from my agent. He says, you're good to go. Congratulations. You got another part of the show. So it's just crazy. Cause I literally was like, am I going to, like, I didn't know if we were going to try for another baby or I was going to do show business. I mean, that's a massive, massive crossroad to be at. And I was like, universe, you have to like help me out here. I'm so confused. I hate feeling that kind of, I'm in this limbo. And then I got an email, and I was like, oh, I guess I should go in for that, just because it said Boston. And I was like, oh, I want to be close to home. And I love Boston and the Emerson Colonial. I love that. My favorite theater in the world. So it's crazy. Wow. And here we are a year later. Never been happier. I feel great. I can breathe normally. I'm not wearing a corset, you know. Yes.
No? Wow. Right. Because a few months earlier, so a year ago, a few months before, you had left Moulin Rouge, and it was privately because you were pregnant.
Yes.
But publicly, did you say why you were leaving the show? I forget the, I don't know if you're mind telling the story.
Yeah. Oh, no, not at all. It just sucked, because when you're newly pregnant, and it was a shock. I was like, oh, hey, 40th birthday. And I was like, and I'm pregnant. And I was like, let's rock and roll. Let's do it. You want to have that moment with, you know, just your spouse, you know, to have that secret, you know. And it was not possible because of the costumes and the safety, because I have a corset around my waist, and these high kicks and impact to the abdomen. That was the only thing that my doctor was like, I think you're fine. Like, you're fine doing flipping upside down for a while, but she's like, no more than 8 weeks or 9 weeks that you can be in the show. So yeah. I had to immediately tell them. And I was nervous and I expressed, I'm like, listen, I'm 40. The risks are astronomically higher than when I was pregnant last when I was 30. And I said, I really want to keep this. Please respect my privacy. This is very hard for me to, you know, and it trickled around a little bit, not in the company, but in they had to, because they had to get a replacement, you know, all this stuff. So I told everybody that everybody knew I was in so much pain. I mean, you know, you saw the show. Nini's, oh, yeah. She's not a walk in the park. She's damaging. And I'm so full out that I'm literally like, it's not like a graceful fall to the ground. I literally like was airborne and bounced off the stage. Like I'm an idiot, but I'm like, tell the story.
Yeah. Thank you for your service, as I said.
So full, just full out. And I was in so much pain all the time. And I said, I have to take care of my body. So it wasn't a lie. I just said, I have to take care of my body. So I'm early. Everyone was shocked. The lady M's were literally like, what? Because we were all going to leave in May. Yeah. So that's what I said. And by the time I had let my lady M's know what had really happened after, because it was like 3 weeks later, I found out that I had miscarried. And I was supposed to do a photo shoot with them. And I just called Jackie and I was bawling. Obviously, I was a disaster. And that's when I let them know. I let certain people know, but by my last performance, everybody in the company knew why I was leaving. That was very, very, very weird that it's like they all knew and I knew, but nobody out there knew. And they're all just like that last performance, they're all just screaming. And it was I'll never have a moment like that on stage again. I mean, that send off was unbelievable. And I'm just like holding flowers, taking a bow, bawling. And I'm so grateful, but I'm like, you all have no idea what I'm going through. Like, I'm just like, it was so much. And then, you know, so then you take a month to just be like, what am I doing? Like, we were so excited. Are we going to do this again? Or It was like, there was a possibility of going into Chicago again as, you know, doing Velma. And like, and then I was supposed to do the Muni. I was going to do Brooke Wyndham. And so I was kind of like, I want to do that, but that's 4 months away. And like TikTok. I'm like, do I want to wait? I don't want to do any shows while being pregnant. Like, I didn't know. And we went back and forth, Clyde and I. And I was like, I'm too confused to make a decision right now. And that's when I got really angry. And I just like flipped the table. And I was like, universe, you actually need to take my shoulders and put me in a direction. And once that moment happened, within 4 hours, I literally got an email for A Beautiful Noise. Like, I literally released. I was like, fuck this. Fuck it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And and then I got the email and I get that these like little magic tingles, and I was like, I think I'm supposed to do this. So
oh my God. Wow.
And thank you for revisiting that for our listeners who might not have known.
Yes. And also, I really appreciate you so publicly sharing your story about your miscarriage on social media. I imagine you received so much love and so many people thanking you for saying what they couldn't, or for sharing something publicly that they felt was so private or they were alone. So, I mean, I don't mean to like say someone's story that isn't mine, but I thank you for that because I know it impacted people.
Yeah. It was probably the most beautiful thing I could have done, because it's obviously like, it was the worst thing in my life. Like, it was so traumatized, you know. It's just, it's awful, and it's so common, and I am so outspoken and open to everybody and anybody that I'm like, the fact that I was hiding something, and I'm like, why can't I talk about this, when it's literally like one in three, it happened. All of my best friends have had miscarriages. Like, I just got angry and I was like, well, fuck it, I'm gonna talk about it. Because I also got really mad at people, not mad, but people are like, your body must be feeling so great. And I'm like, yeah, it feels great. I'm like, I didn't leave because I was in pain.
Right.
I quit my contract because I hurt. My God, I'm like a tank. I'm like, it doesn't matter. You have to like chop a leg off for me to like end a contract. You know what I mean? So it was partly that too. I just wanted to like, you know, come clean. But with so much pain that I was going through, the response, the messages of people thanking me and being like, I haven't been able, I felt like I can't talk about my miscarriage even with my mother. And today I did because of you. I'm talking thousands of messages of saying, thank you for your strength, that you've given me the courage that I don't have to feel ashamed. And it's just so heartbreaking. Women, we got it rough. And yeah. Like, can we not talk? Like, this is so common. Let's just be able to talk about it. So yeah. And it helped me so much. It was hard at first. I've done a couple interviews where I've broken down, but it's like, it's all with the grieving. There's also healing and it feels good. It's not that it feels good to talk about it now, but it's so nice to be so comfortable.
Saying, I can only imagine. Yeah. Also, the way that you're able to so eloquently put it all into words, I remember you kind of broke things up and you told parts of the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you're busy, but you are a writer too, Robin. I'm serious. You are.
It's so funny. People say that. They're like, have you thought about writing a book? I'm like, nope. I just like an Instagram caption. Yes. But I'm just talking from the heart because it's the only way I know. I just need to be like authentic and maybe put a space in social media where I'm like, you can be. People say Instagram's not real. I kind of disagree.
I disagree as well.
Just be real when you're on it. And then you don't have to post your whole life. Just because I don't post every single thing that I'm doing in my kitchen doesn't mean that like nothing's happening or like, oh, she's hiding something because I didn't post like, you know, my mac and cheese that I made. Or, you know, so.
But you better give me that recipe.
I know. I actually do think I might be putting together a cookbook this summer. I think I might. Because, you know, people enjoy like my nasty captions to how I cook and how I describe things that
so
I, it could be fun. It could be fun. Yeah, I love just being, you know, it's my space to just, it's another creative outlet, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. 100%. You're a creator. I mean, you're a writer. You make cocktails. You make recipes. You make the audiences gag for you when you do Forever in Blue Jeans. You know, you've got it all.
And cherry as well. Cherry.
Yeah, cherry.
Oh, iconic.
Table and just be a Tasmanian devil for about 25 seconds and walk off stage.
Yes. So. Oh my God.
Really quick, before we get to Dose of Drama and sadly say goodbye, for now, I want to know what it was like going back into Moulin Rouge after Broadway came back in fall 2021. Was it everything you thought it would be, or was it different?
It was very different. It wasn't the same. Basically, Max was gone, and yeah. I was like, I don't know. Like my first rehearsal back, I FaceTimed Max and we both looked at each other on the phone. He was in his apartment and we just started bawling. Mm. I'm like, I can't go in there without you. Like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I'm not gonna be able to do this without you. And we did. We did it. I was so grateful to be back on stage. I was so great. You know, thank God Ricky was with me still. Yeah. And it was great, but it was also like the stress of testing. That was the biggest thing that impacted me was just, we're still very much in the pandemic, even though Broadway's back. It was like the testing three times a week and like waiting for your results. And like, you can't go into the building until it was constant testing, the masks backstage, that it just was a very strange way to go back to Broadway.
Yeah.
But it's making me so grateful now walking into my theater, even though we did have a couple cases of COVID last week. So we went back into testing and all that stuff, but we're good. We're clear, but it seems like we're going to be on the way to, like, dare I say, maybe have people backstage, hopefully in a few months. Mm-hmm. I know that some theaters are allowing it now. So
yeah.
I don't take it for granted that I'm like, I'm walking into my theater without a mask and I'm seeing everybody's faces again. And it is a beautiful, even, you know, seeing the crew, you know, wardrobe, everybody, I'm like, oh, your face. Hello. You know? So.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
And it's so funny because when I went back to Moulin Rouge, it was only a few months because we opened in September and the end of September. And then I, you know, found out I was pregnant on my birthday in January and I was gone by February 20th. So it was such a short moment.
You're a Capricorn, right?
I sure am. Yeah. Like Capricorn too. I'm the first and he's the fourth. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, I think earth signs are good for each other though.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. Honor just does, like, yeah. People are like, you're a Capricorn? I was like, yeah. I don't know. I think I've got like Sagittarius in there, like some Pisces. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like a fun party trick for like, you know, oh, do you feel like this is true about you? And people are like, yeah, I feel like it's true. You know, I kind of use it in that way.
That it could apply to anybody, right?
Yeah, I don't use it as like a guidepost for like, you know, this is how I need to be in a work setting, or this is how I am in relationships, or this is how me and my mom relate or don't relate to each other. Like, it's kind of fun, but it's not my everything, you know?
Yeah, I guess the biggest thing with the Capricorn thing is like, oh, the Capricorns are like, all work and they have a hard time like enjoying themselves. And I'm like, that ain't me. I'm like, that's you. Like, you want to party hard, you got to work harder, you know?
Yes.
That's my motto.
You're the life of the party.
You keep it so real. Yeah. Okay. Listen, we need to jump into Dose of Drama because okay. My Dose of Drama has something to do with partying. Okay. So listen, for those who don't know, Dose of Drama is a moment where we rant, rave, talk about anything we want to. It just sort of gets me off your chest. Everyone knows. They listen. Mine is that it seems like a party is happening in your dressing room. And I need more footage of you and Tatiana Lofton having the best time ever. I am obsessed with her.
I mean, I'm just going to, this was, you got, sorry, listeners, you can't see, but this was us.
Okay, here's the footage.
Wait, you look like Madonna there.
Work. I'm so sober. Just kidding.
I love the lighting too.
I know it's my, we are. She calls me her white twin. Couldn't be more complimented. She's amazing. We are dangerous together. We are idiots. But yeah, I know I need to, but it's like not appropriate for social media. Yeah, and I also don't like posting like drunky drunks. Like sometimes I wake up in the morning and I'll be like, why do I have so many notifications? Why do I have so many?
Yes.
And then I'm like, oopsie, shouldn't have posted that last night.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have a great time. I know I haven't even done a video of my dressing room. Maybe I'll do that tonight.
What do you call? Because I know it was Barnini. What do you call this one?
Barsha.
Barsha. Yeah, that's easy. That's fun.
It's like fun. Barnini is like a little. You know, I still have the speakeasy vibe going on. It's like a lounge, but Barsha's just like just got like a dose of trash in there. You know what I mean?
I love that though.
She's a little lowbrow, but it's a good time.
it seems like the cast is a good time. This group of people.
We've all kind of grown up a bit, but Boston, we were insane. We were crazy in Boston.
Was it last summer?
Yeah, it was like summer camp. You know,
there's something about summer. You know what I mean? I'm sure the same thing kind of happened with you guys in Moulin Rouge too. It's like,
yes, you're Boston. Yeah, it's dangerous, man. But yeah, we definitely have a good time, but it's different when you're home. You know, you're in New York, everyone's tired. It's 8 shows a week. It's just, you know, Groundhog Day. It just keeps going that people, and me too. I'm like, I gotta go home. I can't be doing this every night. So,
yeah.
But last night we had a little baby Barsha. So
I love that. Oh, that's so fun. Oh my God. Okay. Connor, do you have a dose?
I do have a dose of drama. Okay. So I feel very strongly about this, and I'm trying to figure out like how to word it best, but basically when there are leaked photos from movie sets, like there was a drone over the Wicked set, or there's all these images of Gaga or people filming Gaga doing her Joker sequel, I feel like the spoiler queen in me comes out and I'm like, I don't want to see it till I see the trailer. I really don't love when things are ruined for me out of context in that way, because we don't know how the movie's really gonna look, or, you know, we're seeing,
people will judge. Yeah,
we're seeing shots of like Munchkin Land or all these little teases potentially of like Cynthia painted green and Wicked, these different things that like, I'm not ready yet. I feel like I can wait for the trailer. I really am kind of like a purist in that way. So I'm feeling dramatic about specifically the drone over the Wicked set and also all the pics of Gaga and Joker, because I'll just wait till I see it in context when it's meant to be seen.
I fully agree with you, but this is the problem with social media and these phones. You can't stop it. You know, same thing with theaters. You can't stop the bootlegs. You can't, you know, like, it's just, it's our life now. But yeah, wasn't that exciting in the days where it's just like the trailer drop and you were like, holy shit.
Yes. Yes. Like, wait, they made this already?
Yeah. And now I'm like, yeah, Cynthia, I know you're green. Like, cause I saw it, you know,
right.
That moment. I fully agree with you.
Thank you. I feel seen. Robin, do you have a dose of drama today?
Yeah,
this lovely
it's
day.
Like, it's like not, it's not cute and it's not fun. I just really, it's the thing that consumes me every day. And that is Midtown Manhattan.
Mm.
It is a dumpster fire. Like, it is, I'm like, this is actually real drama that I'm just like, every day I have to walk through it. And I'm like, what are we going to do about this? It's not cool. I mean, have you been there?
Robin, against all odds, I live in Hell's Kitchen. And okay, I'm like, can I get out, please? Okay, this is probably problematic to say, but like the homeless people, the trash everywhere.
Drugs, trash, garbage. It's like Back to the Future 2 when Biff runs it. Literally. And that's what I say. I love Back to the Future is my favorite movie in the world. And it is. I can't wait for the summer.
I know, it's gonna be so good.
Roger Bart, love him. But I literally am like, this is Biff's world. Like, we're just living in it. We have to walk through it. I mean, understand, and I'm not seeing a lot of police presence. Like, I do not see them at all. But there's like, I'm not kidding. And this is, you know, earmuffs for people who don't want to listen to this. But like, I was walking to Target the other day to get some more Easter candy. And see this guy, you know, on 44th La Pulperia or whatever it's called or whatever.
Yeah.
Just a homeless guy leaning up and he is just peeing, laying down, but just peeing over to the side. And I'm seeing people jump over the stream. And I'm like, is this where we are? Is this where we are? It used to not be like this. I mean, that's the one thing. Like, clean it up. What is going on?
I know.
It's bad.
And the people that are just like half clothed or changing clothes as they cross the street screaming, I am, it's not safe.
It's like, what have they say Times Square used to be in the 80s?
It's getting back there. I mean, it's really getting back. I mean, Times Square, that's a zoo. But this 8th Avenue, ooh.
There was a, in front of my door, and I'm not going to like say where I live publicly, I guess, but there was a woman giving a man a hand job on my doorstep at 10 p.m. Like, on like a Sunday. And I should.
Jesus.
Listen, nice work if you can get it. I mean.
And scene.
Yeah. Oh my God. Robin, you are a damn delight as always. Thank you for just being so real with us and sharing your magic tingles.
I could talk to you guys forever.
I know.
I know. All day. I could pour myself.
I know. Next time we get together, it has to be with drinks because absolutely. You're a fun time.
While we're waiting for Clyde's show to get out. How about that?
Ooh, yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah. We can kill a little bit of time.
I should do like some sort of like Instagram live, just invite people on, be like, hey, talk to me. I'm waiting for my husband.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. Oh my God.
I think I'll do that. I don't know.
Well, when you do, it will be on your Instagram, which is just your name at Robin Hurt.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's okay. Me.
Amazing. Everyone should be following you. They should be following us. We're at the Drama Podcast. I'm at Dylan McDowell. Connor is at Connor McDowell. Check out Robin in A Beautiful Noise on Broadway. It is sensational, and Robin,
you can't miss her in it.
Yeah, you cannot. Thank you again for coming back, Robin.
Oh, thank you for having me again. It was awesome.
Thank you. All right, and Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.